Welcome to the Breakfast Leadership Show, where we interview global thought leaders on business, leadership, and life. Here's your host, keynote speaker, best-selling author, and chief burnout officer of the Breakfast Leadership Network, Michael Levitt.
Welcome back. I've got Dr. Tori Ellis on the line. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Really looking forward to this conversation. So for those that aren't familiar with your work, I'll share a little bit about you and then we'll dive into this conversation.
Okay. Well, my name, as you know, is Dr. Tori Ellis. I am a transformational life and business coach. I do work with a lot of moms, and my main focus is the mom behind the business. But if it's not the moms, it's the person behind the business and making sure that they are pretty much whole in everything that they want to do and successful in everything that they want to do.
That's important work. And since more than half the population is moms or females, it's important to really provide a lot of support for them because, you know, from my vantage point, and I've shared this on my show before, when I first entered the workforce when I was a teenager, you know, my first manager was female. I didn't think anything of it because my mom, my grandmother, and my great-grandmother all worked. And it's like, okay, you know, you have a boss who happens to be female. Fine, whatever. But then as I got older, you know, I started experiencing what the workforce was like at that time and was appalled at it. And I talked to my mom and my grandma about it. I'm like, how long has this been going on? And they said, well, since the beginning of humanity, basically. It's like, oh, okay. And it's like, okay, then why were you guys such, you know, base, I don't want to call them, you know, abnormal by any stretch, but, you know, pioneers to, you know, you're going out there and you're working. It's like, that's just what our family does. So it's a thing where I know a lot of, you know, moms, you know, are juggling a lot of things. All parents do. But sometimes that I've seen it in many dynamics where it seems that, you know, the mom is carrying on a little bit more of the load, especially when it comes to kids, coordinating, you know, pickups and all of that kind of stuff. You know, thankfully, I've been witnessing it. It's starting to change a little bit, seeing a lot more dads at the school picking up kids after school and all that, which is long overdue. But I'd just love to hear your thoughts on some of the challenges that you see some of your clients facing as being a mom.
Well, I mean, definitely coming into the workforce and being a mom, it has to have a balance. And I'm a mom myself, so I have a 2-year-old. A lot of it definitely comes into play with having that, I want to say that support plays a big, big deal. But a lot of the struggles that I do see my clients have, and even with myself, is that imposter syndrome. It does kick in quite often. And sometimes you have what we call mom guilt or mom shame, because you want to make sure that you're able to tend to your kids and be present for them too. But then when it's time for that downtime for you to focus on what you have to do with work, it's like, you know, you don't want to feel like you're putting your work before your child. And sometimes that kicks in and, you know, makes you struggle a little bit where you're second guessing a lot. And the imposter syndrome then just trickles in right afterwards. They kind of go hand in hand like a marriage, you know? And then you start to second guess, like, you know, if you're capable or, you know, if you can manage. And those stressors can, you know, lead to other things, because a lot of people don't talk about that stress is one of the main causes of a lot of diseases and stuff in your body. But I mean, I wouldn't say those are the two highlights I've seen the most, is definitely mom guilt and definitely imposter syndrome for sure.
I'm sure during the pandemic as well, for a lot of moms that were working from home with their kids also being at home because, you know, they weren't allowed in school for a period of time. You know, that was a huge juggling act, and a lot of parents had a real difficult time with that. Some organizations, thankfully, were flexible to allow them to work at different times so the kids could, you know, work on their schoolwork during their typical school hours. And then a lot of parents would either get up earlier or stay up late to work on their work, which was great that they had that flexibility, but it certainly made for some really long days for people, which obviously prolonged stress turns into burnout. And I agree, having worked in healthcare for a long time, pretty much every chronic disease known to humanity has stress as a component of it. So people, when you have prolonged stress, you're thinking, oh, I'll just get burned out. No, it could be a lot worse. You could end up with a chronic disease and have to deal with all of the caveats that that brings. So it's really important for people to address their stress and their guilt. And yeah, we as humans, we want to do best for our kids. And, you know, I'm a parent as well. bent over backwards, worked long hours, did whatever I could to provide, and to my own detriment. And it's important for you as a parent or anybody, even if you don't have kids, you're a worker, you're a family member, you're a loved one, whatever. It's crucial for you to take care of yourself first. You have to. And sometimes that might be deemed as being selfish, but in order for you to be able to do all the things you want to do, you have to take care of you first. So that way, when you are helping other people, they're getting a better version of you than if they're getting this completely washed up, watered down, completely fatigued and burned out parent that is just physically there, but they're not there. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's the mental and emotional strain too, because, you know, like you said, you want to be able to show up as your best self. So you can't pour from an empty cup. And a lot of times when you are doing that, whether you're doing a 9-to-5, your 40-hour work week, but as entrepreneurs too, it's not a 40-hour work week. Sometimes we're working 80 hours, 120 hours, because you're putting in a lot of the back-end work to make sure that you are succeeding and your business is succeeding. It doesn't run if you're not running. So having that balance is difficult at times. And a lot of people don't, you know, really realize the ins and outs of entrepreneurship too, because they see you, oh, you're an entrepreneur, you can make your own hours, but it's more than just making your own hours. You're building your own machine. Whereas some, you know, companies, they have tons of opportunities, different parts of the business that is fluctuating from HR to operations. You have all these moving parts, but as an entrepreneur, sometimes it's solely just you or probably one or two other people when you're first starting off. And as you begin to build, you're building out these systems, but that takes a lot of time. So even when you have a child, or sometimes I would say even when you have pets too, because your pets need love and your pets need a lot of attention as well. But those are people's babies as well. But when you have these important facets of your life that are just not tangible as far as the material aspect, but people who you love, people who you want to pour into, you always want to make sure that you're able to give your best self. And when you're not able to do that, then it's like, you know, it's a lot of stress on you. You start to talk down about yourself and not really feed like positivity into yourself. And you can't pour into anybody else positively either when you're like that. Because, yeah, you can be physically present, but your mental and your emotional is not there. Sometimes you can be snappy. Sometimes, you know, you can be real short with your words. And it's like so much other things can spiral down from that. And you don't want those long-lasting effects to happen. Like you mentioned, like, you know, it's the chronic diseases and the stuff that can happen on your body. But then now, if you take it a step further, you're thinking about how is it affecting your child? How is it affecting the people in your family? Because if you're short or you have an outburst or a breakdown, sometimes they're not understanding or can receive it in that moment, they could take that on too. And then now you have a whole nother issue you have to unpack. And it's not just you that gets involved and it affects the whole. So it's definitely a big deal. And most people don't dive in too deep about that. So I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, I see. And just personality traits of myself, some things that I picked up from my parents, some good, some I would debate maybe not so good. And it's one of those things where I reflect on it now and go, okay, well, I can change that behavior because it's me, it's my body, my time, my, you know, my purpose, everything like that. So I make it a choice to, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Or, you know, dig into it a little bit more, figure, okay, why do I react this way to certain situations? Why is this bothering me where other things that could bother me don't? And so it's that approaching yourself with curiosity is something that I tell people to do all the time. The world does a good enough job of beating us up. We don't need to do it to ourselves. So we need to realize, okay, why is this important to me? Why do I have this fear that I am not there for my kids? You're providing for them. They have food, clothing, and shelter, hopefully. If you've got that, you're providing for them. The extras, the bonuses, the extra time, the help with the homework, the buying this or taking them to do this fun stuff and all of that. Yeah, that's good stuff to do when you can do it. But you have to prioritize things, and that it's not a set and forget it kind of thing. It has an ebb and flow to it. as much as we would love to be consistent on things in life, sometimes life just isn't consistent. So I'd love to hear, you know, some of your tips on, you know, what are some things that moms can do to kind of navigate, you know, life as an entrepreneur and be able to harmonize basically all the things that they have in running a business and running a family. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, like you said, it's an ebb and flow. So there's not one cookie cutter way of doing it. Everyone's way of doing things is different. And you have to, like you said, dig deep within yourself and find out what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses. But then outside of it too, what do you like to do? Because then when you're able to capitalize on what you like to do and your passions behind it, it's easier to not integrate that in. Even if that is, okay, I know that I am working from, let's say, 8 to 4, or I'm working from 8 to 12. At 1 o'clock, I'm going to take a nice hour to myself where I can either meditate or I can do breath work or I can write in my journal. That way I'm reflecting. That way I'm taking my moments of just silence, even if it's not silence or, you know, nice meditation music, just to recenter myself. Because having those moments in the middle of the day, especially because so many things can go awry, it's helpful. And then outside of that, it's also just prioritizing your time. If your cutoff time, you know your child comes home at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you want to make sure you're done with your day by then maybe you have to do an extra, you know, an extra hour early. And then that way, when they come home, you can completely shut up and be completely present. But then to also choose your days that are available and works for you. If this means that right now on Mondays, I'll take fully off on Monday. That way I can sit and make sure that I have my Saturday, my Sunday, and my Monday for my kids, but then also for myself. Monday may be for mom. Saturday and Sunday is for the kids. You know, you have to have a balance and you have to do what works for you. And like you said, it's an ebb and flow. There is no right or wrong way of doing it, but it's just knowing what works and feels good for you too. Because when you feel good, you're able to make others feel good, and you're able to make really great decisions that are not in that space of, okay, I got to do this right now, or I have to do this because of this. It's more of, okay, how do I prioritize this? What is of importance that needs to be done right now? What can I put off for probably tomorrow or next week? What can I delegate? Because delegation is a big thing too. When you are able to delegate and pass that on, then you're taking off those extra loads on yourself. So maybe I'm not able to pick up my child today. I'll ask their father, or, you know, a very close friend, just to help me out in that situation. 10 minutes in that moment, I got an extra free time of 10 minutes. I don't have to travel to go get them. During that time, I could do a quick self-reflection and just take a quick beat before they walk in. So when they walk in, they see a refreshed mom instead of seeing a drained mom. Because also that first impression walk in, they always say the first impression in the business, how you present yourself is how they are seen. But sometimes that first impression too is with your kid. So when they walk in the door, you want to see a happy mom, a happy dad, you know, and just make sure that you are presenting yourself there, but you're feeling it too, not just putting on a mask, because that's another thing. You put on masks all the time. Sometimes you forget what it is that is going on. You are actively, how they put it, being a productive depressive, because you have a mask that you put on and you're just able to get through it and you go through the motions. Those motions become like clocks, the hamster wheel. And the ideal thing is to get off the hamster wheel. So it literally just a matter of who you are and how you feel works, how you feel about yourself, what you feel works for you, what you feel works with your family. And then you make those adjustments, because ultimately it's not just you in it, it's everyone else around you. And when you want to take consideration of that, you will put their tidbits in there too, because you're being conscious of them. But ultimately, you have to really fill your cup first, so that way you can fill everybody else's cup.
It's important work, and I always tell people it's important for you to leave your iBinky. That's my brother's nickname for my iPhone. When on those Saturdays and Sundays, if you have the whole family there, like your partner or your husband or wife or significant other and all your kids, so your family unit's together, turn the phone off. Yeah, and unless you're a caregiver for somebody, turn your phone off. It can wait. Everybody has this fear of missing out. Oh, that big client's going to call me at Saturday at 11, not typically, in the number of years that I've ran my business, I don't usually get those calls at 11 a.m. Why? Because they're well aware of my availability time, and they appreciate that. If the client or prospective client doesn't basically accept that, then I don't want them as a client. And it's just that's the reality of it. So when you're there, be there. And I see it so often with parents. If I'm out and about, mine are all adult. Well, my kids are all adults now. So, but I see it all the time with parents, whether it's at the mall or if I'm in a store or happen to be somewhere else where there's a lot of kids. You know, I'll see the kids, obviously, and notice them. And I kind of glance at the parents just to kind of see if they're really there. Sometimes they are. They're engaged. They're playing with the stuff. They're commenting. They're you know, actively listening to their kid and responding accordingly instead of, you know, looking at their phone and say, yep, we'll do that. Yep, we'll do that after that. And they're not there. Their mind is occupied with work or something else. You know, the technology is awesome. I love smartphones. I love technology. I love Wi-Fi, internet. I love it. We can work anywhere at any time. But the side effect that's bad is we can work anywhere at any time. And we do. And we need to stop doing that. And for our kids, but for ourselves, we need to have boundaries around when we work and when we don't. And as an entrepreneur and you're starting your business, you want it to grow, you want it to be a seven-figure business or whatever your dreams are. If you're persistent, you'll get there. But if you're going and working, you know, from instead of, you know, trading in a 9-to-5, you're doing the 9 to midnight type of thing every day, on top of everything else in your life, you're going to burn out, or you're going to develop some health problems, or you're not going to be your best, and you're going to miss opportunities because you're not refreshed. Your cognitive ability gets impacted, so you're not recognizing patterns or opportunities to grow your business. So I love how you said, you know, delegate that picking up of the kids to get 10 minutes just to sit and do nothing, close your eyes, work on some breathing exercises, meditate, make a cup of tea or decaf coffee, trying to stay away from the caffeine in the afternoon, people. Just do whatever you can to calm your state and get refreshed. And when you do that, you'll notice some big returns right away, and then definitely long term, because you'll be developing some habits to help you kind of navigate the ebb and flow that you and I talked about earlier.
And I just want to, like, you know, bring on to that topic that you just mentioned about the phone and putting on do not disturb or putting it down, because when you're not presently there, like you said, you're missing out on so many amazing things. And, you know, you may think like, hey, I'm going to get this, or I'm going to keep moving forward, and it's growing at this rate, so I have to be on. I'm guilty of it. I have definitely been in that mindset at one point, and I had to pull myself back, especially as my daughter has gotten older, because as she gets more older, she's more aware. And then with her being more aware, she's going to ask more questions. And I need to make sure that I'm able to be, you know, have that capacity and actively listen to what her needs are, what she's talking about and what she's asking, because these are important questions that, you know, is probably going to help shape her life and how she realizes things and how she does things. So I want to be a great example in that aspect, but I can't do that behind a phone. I can't do that behind my computer. And the pandemic has definitely, you know, allowed so much people to utilize technology, which is great. But then the downside to it is that now everyone expects you to be available all the time. And it's like, no, I'm not available all the time. This technology is literally just here for me to get this job done and for me to close it. The other job I have is my family. And when you're able to prioritize those things, and you have as we say to kids, you have to be well-rounded when they go to college. You got to be a well-rounded student, play sports, do activities, you know, have good grades. You want to be a well-rounded individual for yourself and for your family. So it's not going to always be work. It has to be, you know, I got to get this done for work, but I got to spend this time with my family. I got to spend this time for myself. Because sometimes, you know, even them, you love them to death, but it can be draining too when you're tired. It can be draining too if they have stuff going on and that capacity you can't hold. So it's like, hey, I got to be present for myself too. So it's just three tiers: present for your family, present for your work, but definitely be present for yourself. If you don't do it, no one else is. So you got to start with you.
Yep, you have to, because you'll never spend any more time with anybody else on this planet than yourself. So you got to make sure you're the best version of you, which means you'll be the best version for your work, your family, your loved ones, your friends, and everybody. So love this conversation. Where can people find out more about you and this amazing work you're doing?
Well, you can definitely follow me on my site, thesoundofbusiness.org. So, you know, thesoundofbusiness.org. And you can follow me on Instagram as well at @always_DrTori with two I's, T-O-R-I-I.
Awesome. And I'll definitely have all that in the show notes. So thank you, Dr. Tori, for your time today. Really appreciate it and loved our conversation.
I loved our conversation too. Thank you for having me on this amazing show. And thank you for your platform. It is doing amazing work. And I wish you all the best in your endeavors moving forward.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Breakfast Leadership Show, part of the Breakfast Leadership Network. Visit breakfastleadership.com for tips on empowering your business and your life.